This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
The world is a scary place, especially for investors. The news cycle is not meant to make you feel good or warm or rosy, and it can impact how you invest. So there's this great importance that we understand the narrative that we see in the news relative to the reality. And typically the narrative that in the world we live in is usually bad. It's almost perpetually always bad. But there's also the other thought that the reality is almost always good. The underlying fundamental army of productivity in the United States is something that the successful investor is reminded of or remembers over and over and over again. So today we're going to talk about the critical importance of rational optimism for investors. I'm Wes Moss. The prevailing thought in America is that you'll never have enough money and it's almost impossible to retire early. Actually, I think the opposite is true. For more than 20 years, I've been researching, studying, and advising American families, including those who started late, on how to retire sooner and happier. So my mission with the Retire Sooner podcast is to help a million people retire earlier while enjoying the adventure along the way. I'd love for you to be one of them. Let's get started. So we all lived through a period of time in a pandemic, obviously, where everything COVID-related totally dominated everything, totally dominated the news cycle, totally dominated our lives and our family and our business and our work. And it was about statistics of COVID. And then it was about the vaccine. Are we going to get the vaccine? Is it going to work? And then it worked. It was getting the vaccine rollout. And it was all about, it's not over this variant and that and the double mutant. It's going to be the United States or across the pond. And as we've left that crisis, and I think we all understand how the media works, their job is not to make you feel good. If it bleeds, it leads is an old newspaper euphemism that has always been the case. It's always been the case. Bad news sells because we are wired to listen. I want to avoid danger. Makes sense. But in the world that we live in today, it's almost as though we've had this, call it a nitrous or a turbocharger on that negative media news engine that's made it even harder to wade through, I think. And I can tell you, it makes it even more difficult for investors. So what I wanted to remind us today is just the fact that as we have now left one crisis, there will be a new crisis. And that's always going to be the case. So let's go through the kind of the new candidates for the new scary pieces of what investors have to worry about. And I used to do this thought. I used to do talks, and I would always have in my back pocket the dirty dozen of the scary 12 things that are happening right now. And a lot of times those scary things are perpetual things on that list. Market correction, always scary. For the longest time, the thought of the Chinese economy taking over the United States, always kind of a scary thought. The list of, let's call it the half a dozen today, is still, let's call it a formidable list for investors to be concerned about and understand and realize. But also, I'm going to counter this in just a minute on all of the fundamentally even more important good things that we're all faced with if you really open up the hood and look inside and see what's happening in the United States economy. And it's a concept I call the army of American productivity. And it's a very formidable force. The army of American productivity is a formidable force that investors need to be constantly either remember or reminded of. And I'm going to do that here today on this podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So what are the new candidates? We need a new crisis, or we need a new scary monster for markets to worry about and Americans to worry about. And of course, we have some great candidates for that, by the way. We have number one on the list is inflation. Inflation is a product of too much money chasing too few goods and services. And we're going to be living with real inflation for some time. We haven't really been bit by inflation since the 1970s. And we've lived through multiple decades of technology bringing the cost of everything, not everything, but a lot of the things we spend our money on down. We're going through a period of time where, regardless of all of the great technology that's kept things cheap, 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 we've already started to really see real inflation. It's not just worried about it. It's actually here. Warren Buffett's been talking about it. He owns multiple businesses inside his Berkshire Hathaway conglomerate. One of those is a home builder. And all of the companies that he owns that are supplying homes are going up, and they're having to raise prices at the let's call it the product level. Obviously, lumber we've already heard about many times, but anything that materials that go into a house, prices up. So the home, they have to raise prices. Then the home builder who's building the house has to raise prices, and then the consumer has to pay a higher price. And that's inflation, and it's not just happening in home building, it's happening in almost every sector of the economy. Now, technology has helped keep a lot of that down, but there's only so much technology and innovation can do in an environment where we are today. So inflation, particularly with, think about all the stimulus that's happened because of the pandemic back in 2020 and 2021, the U.S. government has spent almost $10 trillion to get the United States through the pandemic. So they increased the money supply significantly. And again, what's inflation? Too much money chasing too few goods. And that's a byproduct of that. So that is a real issue that Americans, consumers, retirees, quite frankly, we all have to worry about it. And investors are, by the way, very well suited to fight against inflation, because my favorite elixir for battling inflation is to own companies and own equities that are able to raise those prices. But we're not here to talk about that solution so much as to the bigger picture of what's scary today and why we can still continue to march forward as investors. So inflation, number one. Of course, the worry about tax hikes. Yes, tax hikes for corporations, not great for investors. Tax hikes personally, you probably don't want to see your own taxes go up. There's even more money potentially going to the IRS to make tax collection even better for the government. So there's a lot to think about there. We're still in a period of time where there's lots of social unrest. And we don't know if that gets better quickly or it gets worse from here. But we remember the summer of 2020, and it's a lot to think about. We also have to remember that all that stimulus money that we talked about that's creating inflation is also created what? Massive government debt. The government debt that we have in the United States is through the roof. Now, as long as we have a large growing economy, we can easily service that debt, and it's not necessarily something that's going to crack or shatter tomorrow, but it's something that we always have to have on our mind as investors. We also think about other economies. So what about we've been in a trade war with China for the better part of a decade. I don't see that getting any better. What does that mean for the economy? And then think about the climate. What's happening with the climate? Is it something that we all need to be worried about, not worried about? It's on the list of concerns. It's on the list of, hey, what's the new crisis of the day? And today I just wanted to give us a healthy reminder of just how strong. Oh, so those are all headwinds. Those are headwinds. That hurts. I wanted to give us a reminder of just how strong the tailwinds are for, and how strong those tailwinds are blowing for this economy and the country that we live in, and perhaps around the world. Now, the media, again, is designed to prey on your biggest fears, expose the danger, and it's built perfectly to do so. And then, of course, social media has been the turbocharger on top of that. And that's why investing is so hard, because you've got fact and we have fiction. Fiction is way more interesting than fact. And narrative is much easier to make scary if it's going to be interesting versus reality. And that's why we're here to remind you on the Retire Sooner podcast that even though the narrative can be bad today or is bad today, and by the way, it's always some level of bad or awful or terrifying, the reality is good. And good's not even the right word. It's better than good. We are, if you stick to the math and the data and the critical thinking as an example through COVID, you realize that at some point we would get out of that crisis and economically rebuild, then it was easier for people to understand to stay in stocks. Emotionally watching the news, it was difficult to think, why would I be invested in the middle of this terrible crisis that could go on for who knows? Right. If you go back to March of 2000, who knows how long the shutdowns were and the virus and the pandemic, right? But if you stuck to the math and the science and the critical thinking of it, you very quickly figured out that, hey, if we just stick to this objectively, we're going to get out of this and we need to be hanging on to stocks. And that was a hugely important lesson that I still to this day am proud of, that difficult message that I know, I can tell you, helped a lot of people get through that period of time. And because of that, we're able to really come out on the other side in a much, much better financial situation than they maybe otherwise would have been. Now, we've got all sorts of listeners to the Retire Sooner podcast. A lot of the folks do investing on their own, and they are, and you may be, I may be preaching to the choir here, and today's just a reminder. And then other folks are getting to a point in time where even though they might understand everything that's happening, the stakes just get really too high. And you get to the point where you've got all this money, I've got a lot of money saved. And that's maybe why you've turned to and listened to financial news, which is here to scare you. Podcasts like ours here are not meant to scare you. They're meant to shed light on what's really happening in the world. And we take a lot of pride in doing that. And again, I do this for a living. I have a financial firm. I've been an investor for families for 20 some plus years. And it's something that we do every single day. We've got about 45 folks that work at my firm, Capital Investment Advisors. And we're very proud to have stuck to the math and the data and the critical thinking to get people through a terrible period of time. But there's always going to be these terrible periods of time. And that's what today's thoughts are really all about. And this is a topic that kind of is counter to, like, so what's the elixir, right? We've got this tailwind that I speak of, and I'll give you some examples, some amazing things happening in the economy. But really, first and foremost, I think of our nation and our economy as this army of American productivity. Millions and millions, over 100 million people, of the smartest people and the brightest people and the most enterprising people and the most hardworking people on the planet, right here in the U.S., here in our borders, they get up every single day and they advance the ball. We already have that progress and we see it, right? We have electric vehicles spinning all over the roads. We have oil that now we have available for the next 100 years. We have more oil than we'll ever probably use. You're listening to this podcast probably through your iPhone or your Samsung. That's the same computing power that essentially sent men to the moon in the early days. And that's just in your hand and pocket today. What could possibly be next? Not only is it all these headwinds and the scariness, but we've already had so much progress. Can it really get better from here? And I just want to answer that today. So let's start with a couple of fundamental things that are happening to this economy. We all know that when we got the internet and started to embrace the internet, it just totally transformed the world and the economy. But it didn't do that everywhere. We think of it happening in the United States, but you still can't get a signal. You certainly can't get a 5G signal if you're 200 miles off the coast fishing for tuna. You certainly can't get a signal or 5G in the Saharan Desert, and you can't get it on the top of the Himalaya Mountains. Well, that's a lot of places in the world. We don't just live in urban centers. Certainly, a majority of the population does, but there's also this massive amount of people that don't have great internet connectivity. In a post-COVID world, there is this massive demand that I don't see ending of people wanting to go to the coasts and the mountains and the deserts and the lakes and the forest and the plains, wherever it's not just Midtown Atlanta, where I live. And it's a lot easier to do that the minute you have connectivity. It transformed the world once. And it's about to transform the world and the economy again. And that has to do with high-speed internet to the globe. Now, you've all heard of Elon Musk, and you've heard of SpaceX and all the work that he's done beyond just Tesla. But SpaceX is in the process of putting up low Earth orbit satellites, essentially a constellation called Starlink that is, call it, over 1,000 smaller satellites that will connect to each other and beam down to everywhere and blanket, not just cities, but just the entire planet with what is essentially as fast as 5G service. So they are going to provide near, not 100%, but near global coverage of the populated world. And that's supposedly by the end of 2021. And I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but it doesn't matter. Soon. They're already in process of doing that. In fact, one of our team members has a house up, a cabin up in the mountains in Georgia, and they've already signed up for Starlink service to get internet because they have zero bars on their cell phone. There's no internet up there. And quite frankly, they love it because it's peaceful and serene. But when you start having little kids and what happens if something happens to the kids, you want to be connected in the world we live in, let alone work there. So they're in the beta for Starlink, and they're about to have real internet service in a very remote place. By the way, Amazon's doing the same thing. They have their own project where they're anticipating over 3,000 of these similar types of satellites, a whole constellation around the United States. So they're going to be multiple providers of global high-speed internet. Imagine what that's going to do to the global economy. So massively fast internet to every single part of the globe. So again, to me, this is one of those things where we all remember and have heard the phrase, well, everything, the patent officer in 1842 who said that everything that's already been invented is everything that can be invented. How could we do anything more? And I always think of that quote. And by the way, I think that quote is false. I think it's like when I looked that up on Snoops or something, or Slopes, and it's supposedly false, but it does feel that way sometimes. It does feel that we have everything at our disposal. How does it get a lot better? If you think about, what are they going to do to your iPhone? They're going to give it a 17th camera, right? So you start thinking about how can we continue to push forward? And then you start thinking about game-changing things like Starlink constellation and what can that do for the economy? Just game-changing. Another example, totally opposite end of the spectrum, another example I like to use is a company called Plenty. Now, there's a lot of these vertical farming companies that have gotten at least a little bit of traction. One of the biggest ones and the most well-known that's the most far along is a company called Plenty. So when I think of farming, you think of combines and hundreds of acres in the Midwest. Vertical farming, obviously, is kind of the opposite of that. This is farming in cities, in, let's call it, or right outside an urban center with a building that's kind of like a greenhouse, but it's tall and it's got several stories. And instead of growing plants flat, they grow them on walls vertically so that you can maximize the space. And what Plenty has already done and already up and running, this isn't like a concept. They are a farming company, which is funny when you see it. It looks more like a lab, or it looks like a technology company, but it's a farming, technically startup company that has a building of vertical farming racks, and they use 2 acres, just 2 acres, to grow lettuce. They produce the same amount of luscious lettuce in that 2-acre postage stamp that it takes a farm of lettuce on 720 acres. So a normal lettuce farm takes 720 acres to supply the same amount of lettuce that Plenty is doing in 2. And by the way, they use 95% less water than it would to grow it on normal land. So Plenty is essentially doing farming with 99% less land and 95% less water. How's that for supplying food to the world? How's that for saving water to the world? How's that for the environment? All the above. And all of that is really a technological advancement for a very old line industry. So here we are, I see, over the next decade or so. By the way, that little 2-acre plot gives lettuce, kale, and I don't know, a couple other greeneries to 430 Albertsons in California. If you're in the Southeast, Albertsons, the same thing as like a Publix or a Kroger. 430 of them from a 2-acre farm. All the kale and arugula and lettuce you can eat. So we're in the beginning of stages of more effectively, not just like 5 or 10 or 20% more, but feeding the world in a 99% more efficient way. And then connecting the world in a more efficient way than has ever been imagined. Oh, and by the way, I haven't even gotten into medical technology. The United States alone just delivered 3 miracle vaccines to stop a global pandemic in under a year. With, by the way, brand new technology for 2 of those 3. Astoundingly good. The picture is so good, it's hard to fathom. You're just not going to see it when you turn on the nightly news. All of this goes back to this very important point for and the importance of rational optimism for investors, particularly if you're trying to get to retirement sooner, is that a company's vision, and this is this thought around investing in equities, which you know if you've listened to the podcast, I'm a big believer in it. The companies or publicly traded companies, whether you own a share of it or 100 shares or 1,000 shares, the companies you're trying to buy or own in the U.S. stock market, and I'm not talking about any specific company here, but I'm just talking about if you're a publicly traded company, their whole ethos is to grind higher and produce more and have better earnings, right? Companies are genetically engineered to grind higher. So no matter what's happening in the world, whether it's a dirty dozen or half a dozen of scary things or a pandemic or before an election or before a bill or not a bill or a passage of this, no matter what's happening on the globe, in the face of climate change and natural disasters and terrorism and all the bad things that we wake up and face every day, the companies that we're investing in, their vision is still their vision, right? If you have a job or company, you're working for your clients or your patients, and you're giving them your best every single day. You're inching progress forward every day. The great American companies in the S&P 500 have millions of people working for them every single day, giving it their best. That's an unstoppable force. From the way I look at it, it's an unstoppable inertia. It's a driving force that pushes the economy that we live in to new heights, not every single day incrementally, but just further and further over time. And it starts in the mind of just one person, one human that wakes up every day and asks, hey, how do I get through this day and do the best I can for my company and myself, which ultimately feeds my family, right? So we have this survival instinct to do well. So the economy is based on our survival instinct to produce more, to feed the family. Multiply that daily act by, let's call it about 150 million people in the labor force in the United States alone. That's the U.S. labor force. Collective mindset. What does that look like to me? I start to visualize it as it's an army. It's an army of progress. It's an army of American productivity. And the people, you and I, we go to work every single day to make this the most powerful economy in the world. It's so powerful, it makes us just a little bit smarter, a little bit faster, a little bit better operators every single day. That's why I'm excited to be an American investor. And I hope you are too. It might not be perfect alignment, but every company, particularly if it's publicly traded, wants to grow. And every human wants to feed their family. You put those two goals together, they overlap, and it creates this harmony of progress and the growth of earnings for our great American companies over time. No tax hike or election can stop it. No stimulus package or lack thereof can stop it. No pandemic can stop it. That's why I keep investing in the United States and continue to believe in the power of working productive Americans. And that's why I'm staying invested, no matter what I see in the headlines.
Hey, y'all, this is Mallory with the Retire Sooner team. Please be sure to rate and subscribe to this podcast and share it with a friend. If you have any questions, you can find us at wesmoss.com. That's WESMOSS.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and YouTube. You'll find us under the handle Retire Sooner Podcast. And now for our show's disclosure. This podcast is provided to you as a resource for informational purposes only and is not to be viewed as investment advice or recommendations. This information is being presented without consideration of the investment objectives, risk tolerance, or financial circumstances of any specific investor and might not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to and should not form a primary basis for any investment decision that you may make. Always consult your own legal, tax, or investment advisor before making any investment or financial planning considerations. Please refer to the full disclosure in the podcast description for any additional information.